Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. What is it that brings you alive? Where is your gladness? Nobody comes to church to join a committee. You come because something calls to you, because you yearn for something, for connection to others of your species, to be reminded that you are not alone, to participate in something larger than yourself, to know more intimately God, or whatever it is, however you name what is sacred and holy. You come to be invited into deeper, more constant, more reverent relationship with the world and with one another. Being present with, to, and for others in their terrors and torments, in their grief, misery, and pain. You come to celebrate the triumphs of the human spirit, the miracles of birth and life, the wonders of devotion and sacrifice. We come to church for these reasons and for something else that we cannot fully name. Some people will come to this congregation and fall in love right away. For others, the sense of connection and depth grow over time. And sometimes it just sneaks up on us when we're actually not even expecting it. You join a chalice circle or an adult class, and next you find yourself making butterflies at a Saturday potluck and pledging perhaps more money than you imagined you would to sustain a community you have come to really feel connected to. And yet, creating a community to sustain all this takes time, attention, effort, at least a little and sometimes a lot of organization. And so you find yourself doing the work of the church, teaching in the religious exploration classes, singing in the choir, joining the library committee, even stepping up into leadership, perhaps on the finance committee, the program ministry council, the board of directors. And yet nobody seeks out a church so that they can join a committee. Rather, they become committed to the values and principles of the church. They find their lives changed and made better. They see the potential of what the community can mean in people's lives and in the world, and they want to see the place live up to and beyond its potential. So they take up the work of making the place work, run, serve, make a difference. Today, what I'd like you to consider is that all the work of the church is ministry, whatever it is. This is more than simply changing the name of a committee to a ministry. There are things in the life of a congregation that are easier to see as ministry. Joining the worship committee or becoming a celebrant to help create worship services. Things like being on the congregational care team, singing in the choir, teaching the children, are indeed easier to see as ministry. Other things may feel like more of a stretch. Being part of an all-church cleanup day, setting up for a potluck or for the auction, mowing the lawn, raking the leaves, pulling weeds, balancing the checkbook. Yet one recent name change illustrates how such a shift can reflect a deeper understanding of the work of the church as ministry. The Landscape Committee recently decided that a name more descriptive of their work is Outdoor Sanctuary. They see lawn mowing, leaf raking, and weed pulling as creating a sanctuary outdoors on your beautiful grounds. I can tell you just what a sanctuary I feel it to be when I take my walks around the grounds with the Wonder Dog Scout. These days, the first thing we do as we step outside is to check if there are any Canada geese doing their goosey things on the lawn. I set Scout free to make chase. He takes off barking gleefully, and the geese take flight, complaining mournfully. Then, after a rousing game of fetch, Scout and I make a circuit of the grounds. We cross the bridge, walk a tree-lined lane, cross the log lying over the overflow ditch, and walk through the grove of cottonwoods. Now we are careful not to disturb the nesting pair of ducks. I always visit the great grandmother of all the currant trees for a few moments. I gently touch her still impressive stump, which reaches to the sky yet as it can and simultaneously embraces all the children, including me. Indeed, you have a wonderful outdoor sanctuary. Caring for it is a ministry to all who come here. People in the surrounding neighborhoods know it as a place of beauty and, yes, sanctuary. You tend here a sanctuary for the future of all the people this congregation will touch. You don't come here to join a committee. You come here to come more alive, to say yes to life, to touch what is highest and best, deepest and most intimate, to be healed and made whole, to connect to spirit and being, to find companions and community. What is it that brings you alive, brings you gladness, helps you know your gifts in the world? Where is the world's deep hunger and need? Answering those questions can lead you to your own sense of ministry. And yet, this whole thing, this whole equation, is not just about you. In some ways, it's not really about you first. The church is not just here for you, that you might come alive. And your coming alive isn't really just for you either. For the world does need your aliveness just as much as you need it. It's not just about your healing and wholeness and gladness. It's about the greater good that can be done in the world. For the world needs you to come alive. We come to church perhaps at first for ourselves, and then we can become called beyond ourselves. The Buddha once said that once someone has had a true experience of the Dharma, one of the ways you know that it is true and real and connected is that we just naturally, almost automatically begin to share it. We cannot keep it contained in ourselves. The Dharma belongs to everyone and everywhere. When we touch our spiritual depths, we are called to heal not just ourselves, but to heal the world, to gain strength, to speak truth to power, standing for human dignity and equity, and against principalities and structures that ignore humaneness and become instruments of death. Yes, even as we come alive, finding that our own aliveness leads us to a deeper understanding of the dignity of all life, even as this aliveness so easily can translate into a commitment to working for justice and equity, we often make the mistake of thinking that social justice work is what lies at the heart, at the center of the church, that somehow justice is its mission. Transformation is at the center of the church. Alive people, people alive to goodness and to pain, to goodness and to pain. That is the work of the church. That is the center. So it's not all about you, and it is all about you. Your outdoor sanctuary is also not just for you. It serves, sustains, and heals. I can attest personally to that. Yet its power is not just for your enjoyment and healing, not even just for the people who rent the Bridge Event Center. It has a healing power in the world. A couple weeks ago, there was a man I'd never seen before walking the labyrinth. It was later in the day, and from a distance, he looked a little tired. Certainly his clothes, his jeans looked a little tired. And I imagined that he was someone from the neighborhood coming home from work. I didn't want to disturb him. Yet there he was, being sustained in your outdoor sanctuary. I've seen kids just come by to hang out. I've seen mothers pushing strollers. The people I've had a chance to talk with have told me how much they love this place too. Many of your neighbors in the immediate neighborhood are people who struggle, who have hard lives. You provide them with beauty and sanctuary too. I know that sometimes you feel protective of your beautiful grounds, and for good reason, yet they are a ministry that blossoms beyond you. Sanctuary has both an inward and outward directed meanings. I know many of you have found sanctuary here, sanctuary in a heartbreaking world. Yet the concept of the church as sanctuary comes from the sanctuary, the safety that fugitives could find in the walls of the church in medieval times. Your outdoor sanctuary serves so many. It is such a profound ministry for this congregation, and I know for individual people in it. And it can be a bridge to creating deeper relationships with your many neighbors, keeping the circle connected. The church and your ministry is about you. And it's not about you at all, and it's certainly about much more than you. It's about joy and gladness, and it's about heartbreak over what seems such a broken world. The continuing news in Ferguson, Missouri, hit me hard this week. There is just so much pain and anger and fear. The Justice Department's report was so scathing. I found myself stunned that the racism endemic in the police and courts was so blatant. In this day and age, people are rarely so overt. I can understand the anger and pain in the community, and I can understand the depth of the fear on all sides. I was glad that the police chief, a city manager, a judge, and some police officers resigned over this, over the report. And it seemed to me that healing might be able to begin. And then the two officers were shot. 50 years after Selma and Dr. King's nonviolent leadership, here we are, still angry, afraid, and hurting. I found myself longing for another leader so steeped in nonviolence and with such moral authority as Dr. King. In such times, how is it that we can thank you, God, for most this amazing day? Because sometimes it doesn't feel amazing at all. Yet here's the thing. It's about joy and gladness and aliveness. And it's about more than that. It's about gladness that meets hunger. It's about a joy that doesn't look away. It's about a recognition of the amazing preciousness of our lives, the world, each other. A joy that yet awakens the ears of my ears and opens the eyes of my eyes. A joy that transforms all I see and hear and calls me beyond myself. It calls me to heal my breaking heart. It calls me to reach out and heal others. So what is your ministry? How does this religious and spiritual community call to you? How are you contributing to the transformative mission of this community? How are you being transformed? There is so much that you do so well here. There are so many opportunities to serve this community and serve the world because you are here together in this community. Two ministries I have heard you talk a great deal about in my time with you are around your yearning to do the work of social justice even more deeply, and the task of welcoming others into this community to join you here in the transformation that is possible, that you make possible by gathering together. These are two ministries I have heard you say you want to do more fully. Does thinking about it as a ministry make it more compelling, as a ministry rather than just some task to be performed? Your ministry here might be pulling weeds. It might be bearing witness on the Capitol steps. It might be in leading a chalice circle or saying yes to serve on the board of directors when asked. It might be in making columns of numbers add up. It might be to getting down on the floor and playing with children, holding babies in the nursery. It might be bringing your own shy voice to the choir or to this very pulpit, or even stepping into leadership of a hospitality and welcoming ministry. For you do still need leadership in that area, even as you all are working personally to be welcoming. It might be also in taking your transformed, or at least still transforming, self and join the Social Justice Council to help Boof think about the ways you bear witness in the world and help to transform it. I know I'm using that word transformation a lot, and part of it is because I'm inspired by the butterflies that have started to appear all through this congregation. You have long been in something of a chrysalis stage here in this transition time in your congregation, and you're getting there. You're really getting there. And I love that image, that metaphor for transformation. The 50th anniversary of the march in Selma, Alabama, was just a week or so ago. And there were thousands of people, many among them Unitarian Universalists, who commemorated that anniversary. And the Reverend Mark Morrison Reed spoke there at that 50th anniversary. Here's part of what he said. Why are we here? Not to celebrate, but rather to consecrate ourselves. To be transformed, you must commit and engage and let the awkwardness, anxiety, and relationship reach in and change you. You can turn differences into dialogue, confusion into understanding, distance into camaraderie, but you have to stop making excuses and engage. You can do that because you have the support of beloved community. You can do that. You can move toward into the dialogue and some of the awkwardness and find your way through it to camaraderie, to joy, to that which brings you alive, that makes you glad. Where is the world's hunger and need? What is your ministry? This is at last anyone's ministry and everyone's ministry. None of us can do it alone. People often think that ministry, they think of ministry as a word with a capital M, and that it is the purview of only your ordained and called minister. And yet I certainly cannot and do not do this alone. Without all of us sharing in the larger ministry, it can make no sense. It has no greater meaning or purpose unless we all share it. Without all of us here and all those who are yet to come, this place would cease to exist. The outdoor sanctuary and the indoor sanctuary and the sanctuary in our hearts would have no greater meaning. So don't try to do this alone. Join hands and hearts and take up the larger ministry of your life, the larger ministry of this community. Come alive, because the world needs you. Amen. And blessed be.